Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December the 18th, 2016, our CBIP 22020. We will start our first service today to the town in Hyrule. When they rang the golden bells, there's a light beyond the river, a beach of the sea forever, and we'll only reach the shore by faith decree. One by one we'll gain the portal, there to dwell with the immortal, and they'll ring the golden bells for you. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? There's a glory hallelujah jubilee. And that far off sea forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring them golden bells for you and me, we shall know no sin or sorrow in the haven of tomorrow, when our bark shall sail beyond the silver sea. We shall only know the blessing of a father's sweet caressing, and they ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? There's a glory hallelujah to believe. In the port of sea forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bell for you and me. When our days shall know their number, when in death we sweetly slumber, and the King commands the spirit to be free, nevermore with anguish laden, we shall reach that lovely Aden, and they'll ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels sing? There's a glory hallelujah jubilee. And the door of sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, and they ring the golden bells. Okay, timely greetings, volume two, number two, one shepherd to accomplish, while a multitude of them failed to accomplish, Viti Hadaf. And we're going to finish, timely greetings, volume one, number 18, with the subject of end of human idols. We're on page 19. He said, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Yahweh's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Zephaniah 1:12-18. These scriptures are self-explanatory, and they make our subject as clear as crystal. As soon as the house of David is set up, as soon as the first fruits reach Mount Zion and there stand with the Lamb, the cleansing fountain will be opened. Then it is that the great harvest will begin, during which every grain of wheat shall be put into the barn. But every noxious seed burn. Matthew 13:30. Then it is that every good fish shall be put into vessels, whereas every bad one shall be cast out. Matthew 13:48. And then it is that every one having on the wedding garment shall be served the wedding supper, but every one having not the garment on shall be cast into outer darkness. Matthew 22:11-13. In the terms of the parables, all this can be summed as follows. Those who successfully aim to be spared as sweet as good fish and to put on the wedding garment are those who have found the field of the great treasure and the pearl of the great price and have done all to purchase them. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:49-50. For the solemn times we have come to, brethren and sisters, now is the time to put on the white garment. Now is the time to buy the field with the great treasure and the pearl of the great price. Shall you, shall I, is a great question that we must quickly settle without other people's influence or interference. We should now be able to see how the gospel work is to be finished, and that the idea which we have had about it is merely a human fabrication. It is now clearly seen how sinners are made saints. Yahweh's great fountain is capable of cleansing all of us, of making us white as snow if we let him. So it matters not what we were yesterday. The important thing is what we are to be from today on. We should not be among a class of people who quarrel over trivial matters, but who do not care to discuss weighty subjects such as this. If we do not come to the knowledge of the truth, if we do not let it be do its intended work in us, how can we ever be fitted to live in the presence of a holy Yahweh? You see, believing or not believing in the truth such as this really means something. But to argue, as some do, over a point such as the 3 days and three nights, Matthew 12:40, with nothing to do about it, even if the argument is one, is worse than Phariseeism. For the devil will have us busy ourselves with the unimportant matters and with the things that we do not understand. Well, let me tell you something. In 1931, after Shepherd's Rod Volume 1 came off the press, we published a 2-page article in which we said that what Yahweh has led us into is either all truth or no truth. Since that time, we have published another book and over 20 tracts besides the series of the timely greetings, and all containing doctrinal matter. These publications have been scattered far and wide throughout the denomination, but unto this day the denomination has not once officially attempted to refute any subject in its entirety. They ever try to take away what we have on these scriptures, but never give us something better. All we have heard or seen is garbling or some such procedure as followed by the first day keepers while debating with the Sabbath keepers. I know that it is not a Bulgarian from the Rhodope Mountains who has made scholarly Americans scratch their heads. It is not possible that such a one could have shaken the denomination from center to circumference. If you do not know who it actually is, then you had better find out without delay. Okay, that's the end of number 18 of Tiny Greetings, Volume 1. And this is so true among Adventists today. I converse with them on Facebook, and we have the same situation with them today as V.T. Hall has had with them, and everyone else that's ever come along as a messenger and with a message for the Adventist Church. They've always met the opposition in great numbers, for they are indeed more than the one that are in harmony or within the right, have the same spirit as though, as we that are bringing the message to them. So there you have it, folks. We're going to go now right on into Tiny Greeting. Tiny Greeting, Volume 2, Number 2. And let us read the text for prayer. Let's read the text for prayer for that study. One shepherd to accomplish what a multitude of them failed to accomplish. This is text of address by the V.T. Hall of August 16, 1947. And the prayer thoughts taken from Christ's Object Lessons by Ellen G. White, page 22. Why Yahshua taught in the parables. Okay. And he had another reason for teaching in parables. Among the multitudes that gathered about him, there were priests and rabbis, scribes and elders, Herodians and rulers, world-loving, bigoted, ambitious men who desired above all things to find some accusation against him. Their spies followed his steps day after day to catch from his lips something that would cause his condemnation and forever silence the one who seemed to draw the world after him. The Savior understood the character of these men, and he presented truth in such a way that they could find nothing by which to bring his case before the Sanhedrin. In the parables, he rebuked the hypocrisy and wicked works of those who occupied high position, and in figurative language, clothed truth of so cutting a character that had it been spoken in direct denunciation, they would not have listened unto his words, and would speedily have put an end to his ministry. But while he evaded the spies, he made truth so clear that error was manifested, and the honest in heart were profited by his lesson. Let us kneel and pray that we might be on guard against becoming impervious to the truth, as were the Pharisees, that we might be honest-hearted and profit by the truth that comes unto us. Very good admonition. Let us go now into one shepherd to accomplish what a multitude of them failed to accomplish. Ezekiel 34. Verse 1 and 2, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel, Seventh-day Adventists, ministers, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Question mark. In the Ezekiel, we read, was given a vision of the selfish, greedy, and unworthy shepherds in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, the first thing of the importance is to ascertain whether these selfish shepherds lived in Ezekiel's day, before his day, or after his day. To find this information, let us read Ezekiel 34:23-24. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and Adiyahu will be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince among them. Adiyahu has spoken it. The self-centered shepherds against whom the prophet is told to write are to be replaced by one shepherd, David. When this takes place, Yahweh's people will then have but one shepherd. This cannot be the Yahshua himself, for the inspiration never calls him David. It rather calls him the son of David. Since Yahweh's people have always had and still do have many shepherds, for the truth stands out as clear as crystal that the David of verse 23 and 24 is yet to come, and that the shepherds whom inspiration addresses are in the particular those whom David is to succeed. So all these Adventist ministers, David is to succeed them as one shepherd teaching the truth. And as I go on this Facebook and get on these Adventist groups that are posing all these many questions out there, seemingly wanting to have input and people to help clarify their question, as soon as you come in with any hint of having anything new to add to what they've already suggested, they will rise up against you and start, well, they'll call you the worst names in the world. They start attacking you. You wonder, what do they want? And what they want is they just want somebody to beat on outside. They want a stranger to come in, so they give them some new purpose for living. And then they start pounding on him, pouncing on him, beating on him. I just read to you all about that. The way the Pharisees did our Savior, Yeshua, the way our forefathers did our prophets in olden times. Nothing has changed. It started with Cain and Abel in the Garden of Eden. Nothing has changed. Or at the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel then, let's continue, page 15. Ezekiel then was not given a vision of the shepherds in his day, nor of those before his day, but of the shepherds after his day. For the day in which Yahweh raises up this antitypical David for the feeding of his hungry and neglected flock, Yahweh's people shall then no longer serve strangers, but they shall serve the Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. Here we see that not only Ezekiel, but Yahushua also was given a vision of this same truth. Yes, all the prophets. Ezekiel 37, 24, 25, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Since this is the addition to the third angel's message, early writings, page 277, and since it is the message of the hour, consequently the day of the Davidian kingdom is at hand, let us turn to Hosea 3, 4, and 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua their Savior, and David their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Okay, it says that the many days are now almost over, and the time for the fulfillment of Yahweh's promises is certainly at the threshold of our time. Ezekiel 34:3. You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. For the shepherds in the day of that the kingdom is to be set up are accused of taking all they can possibly take from the sheep, and have not given any care unto the sheep. This must not become our practice. Well, Viti Aleph is saying then that he's identifying himself as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church when he says, this must not become our practice. because he has his own church and organization and own movement, so to speak, within a movement. Remember, three steps of the genuine movement of Seventh-day Adventists. Those three steps are a seasonal movement within a movement. They're only for a generation. Each step of the genuine movement of Seventh-day Adventists, the three of them, are a generation. A movement within a movement, individually, of one or two shepherds operating that movement. First movement was from 1850 to 1890. Ellen G. White and her husband James White started the movement. 1845. 1850, they launched the Birth of Testimony, starting the first step of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventists, the first feeding pasture, Bashan. Entitled Bashan. You can go read about that in Micah 7:14-15. And let's go ahead now. It says, in Ezekiel 34:4-5, it says, "For the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." Well, this careless attitude on the part of the shepherds is causing the laity to wander from one ism to another in search of the spiritual food and physical care. Yes, they wander, so to speak, from one hill to another. Many of them have figuratively become meat for beasts, ism, because there is no shepherd, no care for the sheep. But there are shearers to take the wool from their backs and the fat from under their ribs. Shameful indeed, and who dare refuse to declare what Yahweh said. Ezekiel 34:6-10. "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search after and search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, Seventh-day Adventist ministers, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat unto every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Let us not fool ourselves any longer. Yahweh cannot be mocked. He will not forever forsake his sheep, neither will he forever retain untrustworthy shepherds herding his sheep. He will soon discharge them and will demand that they give an account for their unfaithfulness. So it is that what a multitude of shepherds have failed to do, one shepherd, even David, will in Yahweh's hands get done. Ezekiel 34:13. "And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and feed them up on the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country." In the day of this antipical David, Elohim gathers his flock from all the countries where they have been scattered, and brings them into their own land. Yahweh will no longer lead them in the mountains or the hills of the Gentiles. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. They shall come by the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. After shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahweh the Elohim and David their king. And they shall fear the Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 1:11, 3-5. or chapter 3, verse 5. That's for Ezekiel 34, 11 to 16. For thus saith Yahweh, Yahshua Messiah, or Yahweh Elohim the Father, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock, and the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in the good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their foe be. Here shall they lie in a good foe, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith Yahweh Elohim. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. But Yahweh has promised that there, where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Yahweh has never made the flock wholly dependent upon human instrumentalities, but the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. For Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and a mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahweh will manifest that his son is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimonies, volume 5, page 80. Ezekiel 34:17. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Inspiration now turns to the shepherds and speaks to the flock unto the laity, and warns that there are two kinds of cattle, two classes of laity, rams and he-goats. This is therefore a warning unto them, and we must not fail to declare it, and they must not fail to hear and to act. For this very cause are the timely greetings published and scattered as the leaves of autumn. Ezekiel 34:18, seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. For the cattle are accused of being selective, of eating and drinking, only that which is to their liking, and of the tramping the residue, for they accept whatever truth is agreeable unto them, but reject the rest. Here we shall cite an example. My labor has been most discouraging as I have seen that what Yahweh designed has not been accomplished. These brethren took this position. We believe the visions of Sister White in writing them put in her own words, and we will believe that portion which we think is of a people of Yahweh, and will not heed the other. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 234. For the rebuke, O ye slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, that rested upon the two disciples, is a challenge unto each of us. None of us is as great as the Yeshua, yet he believed all the prophets wrote. Entire belief in the prophets is what makes Yahweh's people great. Here is saying that whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted, and whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. Luke 14:11. Well, I for one do not question anything Yahweh has spoken through his prophets. I know that he does not lie, that he is well able to direct the writings of his prophets, that he makes no vain promises, that he is able to fulfill all he says, that his prophecies never fail. I take the promises of the rebuke as readily as the promises of the commendation. I study my duties as laid down by him with as much pleasure as I study the promises of the glory. Ezekiel 34:19. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. For Yahweh's true people, the truly great, accept that which the so-called wise tread down with their feet. Ezekiel 34:20. Therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto them, Behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. There is a class of church members who trust, or who thrust with the side and shoulder those whom they dislike, usually those who are not of the same hearty type as themselves. These shall have their punishment, and those who are thus mistreated should never feel hurt, should never become discouraged, for theirs is the kingdom, so long as they do not trust and push others. For the doubters and scatterers will have their reward. Ezekiel 34:22-25. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Adi Yahweh will be their Elohim, and my servant David a prince among them. Adi Yahweh have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the wood. For the present state of the affairs among both ministry and laity will soon have to see. No longer are the transgressors to commingle with the obedient. No longer are the hypocrite and the sincere to walk together. No longer are Elohim's people to be obliged to listen to every wind of doctrine. No longer are they to be neglected or left to suffer and fear. Since we are now face to face with inspiration and are told the difference between right and wrong, we are left without a cloak to hide under. We can now intelligently choose either to serve Yahweh or to serve self, and man either to trust in Yahweh to study his word for ourselves, or to trust in man to have others study it for us and tell us what is in the truth and what is in the error. We can now decide to let prejudice control us, or to open our hearts so that truth can find lodgment there. We can now be as dark objects in the corner, or as bright lights on the top of the mountain. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. Ezekiel 34:26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. We often sing the song, there shall be showers of blessing. But now it is up to us. We can have them or we can run away from them. Those who accept all Yahweh gives, all the prophets have written upon them, will the showers fall. Only those who have withstood temptation and the true strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message when it shall have swollen to the loudest cry. Review and the Herald, November 19, 1908, Ezekiel 34:27, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Yahweh. And I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. There shall be showers of blessing, and there shall be a great harvest too. This shall be when the bands of our yoke are broken, when we are delivered from the hands of those that serve themselves instead of the flock. Ezekiel 34:28-29, and they shall no more be a prey unto the heathen. Neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid, and I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more concerned with the hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Not only will Yahweh deliver his people from the hands of the unfaithful and cruel brethren, but he will also protect them from being a prey unto the heathen and to the isms. Ezekiel 34:30-31. This shall they know that I, the Yahweh, the Elohim, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, says Yahweh Elohim. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your Elohim, says Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh does not forsake his flock. He tenderly calls them my flock and reassures them that he is their Elohim. He will without fail set one shepherd to accomplish what a multitude of shepherds have failed to do. Now is your opportunity to feast on the meat in due season at the hand of Elohim's chosen shepherd, or starve on the husk at the hand of a multitude of shepherds. End of time of greeting number two, volume one, number two. We're going to go right on into number three, time of greeting volume one. It is entitled The Christian's Land and Renovation and Heart Operation. The dead and the living make up the whole house of Israel. Gog fails. Okay. That's as I said, the prayer thought for that one is taken from Christ's Object Lessons, beginning on page 38 by the Ellen G. White. Okay. For the teachers of Israel were not sowing the seed of the word of Yahweh. Yahshua's work as a teacher of the truth was in marked contrast unto that of the rabbis of his time. Correction, that's volume 2 of the time of greeting number 3. And I just left off with volume 2, number 2, of one shepherd to accomplish what many shepherds failed to do. Was my last study. This one is Christian land renovation. Let us continue. For they dwelt upon traditions, upon human theories, and speculations. Often that which man had taught and written about the Word, they put in place of the Word itself. For the subject of Yahshua's teaching and preaching was the Word of Yahweh. For he met questioners with the plain, it is written, what saith the Scriptures? How readest thou? Yahshua's servants are to do the same work in our day as of old. The vital truth of Yahweh's words are set aside for the human theories and speculation. Many professed ministers of the gospel did not accept the whole Bible as the inspired word. One wise man rejects one portion, another question another part. They set up their judgment as superior to the word, and the scripture which they teach rest upon their own authority. Its divine authenticity is destroyed. He pointed to the scriptures as of the unquestionable authority, and we should do the same. The Bible is to be presented as the word of the infinite Yahweh, as the end of all controversy and the foundation of all faith. We need to pray this afternoon for help never to set aside Elohim's word for the human theories and speculation, but always to teach the plain truths of the Bible according to the Spirit, for the only unquestionable authority, the end of all controversy, the foundation of our faith. Let us kneel. Let us kneel. Okay, that's the end of the prayer talk. Now let us continue on here in the Christian's Land Renovation and Heart Operation. This is text of address, August 23, 1947, by the V.T. Holler. It says, in Ezekiel 36:1-10, also thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient high places, the places of the worship in the promised land, are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because they have made you desolate, and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh Elohim. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto the mountains, and unto the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate waste, and to the cities that are forsaken by his people, which became a prey and derision unto the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea. Now Arabians, okay, these Idumea are Arabians, which have appointed my land into their possessions with the joy of all their heart, with a despiteful mind to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, unto the rivers, and unto the valley, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit unto my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. These verses, now seen in the framework of the message of the hour, show that the time of the Gentiles is at hand, that Elohim's elect are to return and forever possess their land. Ezekiel 36:11-14, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginning. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh, yea, I will cause them to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nation, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nation any more, saith Yahweh Elohim. Return of the Jews from Babylon. These verses cannot be misconstrued for the meaning of the return of the Jews from the Babylon, because here it is said, the land shall devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations anymore. Whereas history shows that since the Jews returned from Babylon, the land has devoured, there has been no lasting peace. Moreover, this chapter is in particular speaking about the house of Israel. For the 10-tribe kingdom, which has never unto this day returned since it was scattered by the Assyrians, Ezekiel 36:15-22, neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more, neither shall thou bear the reproach of the people any more, neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith Yahweh Elohim. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries, according unto their way and according unto their doings. I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. And they said unto them, these are the people of Yahweh, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. He said, now these scriptures, it can now be understood that Yahweh does not do this because his people of yesterday or of today have been good, but because he must vindicate his name, and he must let the heathen know that they are able to drive, that they were able to drive his people out of the land only because He allowed them to do so on account of the iniquity of his people. Ezekiel 36:23-26. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Plain it is to see that before you and I can be ready for the translation, we must first be ready to go into the promised land. There to be cleansed, there to have our stony hearts removed. Yes, for the only way to have this hard operation performed upon us is to let the Yahweh first gather us from among the heathen and bring us into our own land. For then will I, says Yahweh, sprinkle clean water upon you, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. For in the face of this, I should like to know who could ever live with Yahshua during 1,000 years without having first gone into the land, there to be cleansed and there to receive a new heart. Ezekiel 36:27-32, and I will pour out my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and increase the field, that you shall receive no more reproach to the famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith Yahweh Elohim, be it known unto you. You be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. For the Yahweh knows how to save. He had his people dispersed throughout the nation, so that when he brings them back home, they will remember the result of their evil doing. And so loathe their iniquities. Ezekiel 36:33-36. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the way shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahweh, shall build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Yahweh, have spoken, and I will do it. All these wonders you see, the Yahshua performs in the land of Israel and in the sight of the heathen, these are necessarily premillennial events. Ezekiel 36:37. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do this for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Yahweh's elect, this verse declares, will be praying for the fulfillment of these scriptures. Now, what does it mean that he says, thus saith Yahweh, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do this for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. What does it mean? He's going to increase them with men like a flock. It means that he's going to have people restored back into the land, and they're going to raise children. They're going to multiply and raise children, and they're going to be born in the land, and that's how he's going to increase the purified house of Israel, by their own children that they bring forth, that are born under them, just like the cattle do. He said, I'm going to increase men. I'm going to increase them with the men like a flock. The way he does with the flock. Okay. For the other hand, this verse declares, we'll be praying for the fulfillment of these scriptures. What are you doing, brother, sister? Are you praying for these things? Or are you fighting against them? You dare not say it matters not, for such an attitude of unbelief will keep you out of the kingdom just as surely as it kept the antediluvians out of the ark. Ezekiel 36:38. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste city be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh. Is there still a doubt in the hearts of any of you? Oh, how could there be a doubt? For these verses, you see, do not really need any interpretation whatever. There is no plainer doctrine in the Bible. You cannot close your eyes unto it and yet expect to be counted among the believers of the word of Yahweh. Now, we see that there must be land renovation and heart operation, that Yahweh's kingdom begins on earth in the sight of the heathen. That Yahweh's kingdom begins on earth in the sight of the heathen. That it is to be as real as anything, and that there is to be neither a sinner in it nor a stony heart in it. Is this not more appealing than the imaginary, the much spiritualized kingdom so often heard of? Elijah shall indeed come first and restore all things. That's Malachi 4:5. And he shall finally be what Adam was in the beginning, living in the Garden of Eden and feast on the Tree of Life. So that's where we're headed back for. That's where we're headed back for. Okay, that's the end of that short subject. There, a second time to greetings, volume 2, number 3. And there is a poem at the end of it by Mr. Thomas Hastings. It shall be well with thee. Is the name of it. Be tranquil, O my soul. Be quiet, every fear. Thy Father has supreme control, and he is ever near. Never of thy lot complain, whatever may befall. Sickness or sorrow, care or pain, 'tis well appointed all. A Father's chastening hand is leading thee along. No distant is the promised land. Nor distant is the promised land, where swells the immortal song. Oh, then, my soul, be still. Await heaven's high decree. Seek but to do thy Father's will, it shall be well with thee. This is exactly where we're at today. Seek to do the Father's will, and it shall be well with thee. Well, that ends Time of Greeting, Volume 2, Number 3. The next one is the dead and the living make up the whole house of Israel, Gog and Magog fail. Now, I know I have recently done these subjects, but the Holy Spirit has led me to do them again and again to refresh ourselves with these realities of these prophecies. We must get them ingrained in our mind. We must keep them fresh in our mind every day. That we're looking at the restoration of the Garden of Eden. Restoration of this earth here in this 12th parabolic hour. Yahweh has placed me in charge of bringing forth these prophecies and putting them before the people and keeping them ever before the eyes of the people for the one main point, and that to get this thoroughly ingrained in their mind so that they can make a transition in their mind from the old spiritual, the spiritualizing theories of the spiritual kingdom that is invisible, to the visible, spiritual, physical kingdom that living saints will represent as the leaders of it. And that's start with the house of David first, and then the 144,000 join the house of David. And then the great multitude that no man can number, Revelation 7:9, joins the 144,000. And then the 144,000 and that great multitude goes out, the remnant of them that are gathered in and harvested. They go out then and get the 200 million there in Revelation 9:16. And then the 200 million joins up with 200 million angel from heaven. And then they go to the great army and gather out the remnant left in Babylon. Revelation 18:1-4, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven. So this is what we're called upon to do today. This Elijah David speaking to you right now represents this Elijah that is going to put forth, that is putting forth all these prophecies for the one sole purpose, and that is to keep the workers at the head of the work abreast and alerted to the unfolding of the truth on a daily basis. And hopefully and prayerfully the Holy Spirit will guide us every day for the presenting and the putting forth of these timely messages, that those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, and the Spirit draws them to hear these messages. We just pray that as we put our website out there, 11thhourcall.com, that many people will get a hold of that website. We'll put it on the Facebook every chance we get. They will click on it for daily messages. And we're going to admonish them more and more every day. What we are posting every day is present truth for the restoration of this kingdom of heaven here on earth, the kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of David, which is the same thing as the everlasting kingdom of Yahshua. With Yahshua, the invisible king sitting upon the throne of David, that's pointed out in Tract 8, you know, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Okay. Well, we're getting pretty much tooling along here toward the end of our service for today. So I'm inviting everyone to hone up, to bone up, and to gird up your loins, and to get ready for the next great step. We have to make the next step as this comes, and that is concentrate on the purifying and sanctifying of thyself on a daily basis. Concentrate on the ordained system of true worship, perfecting that in your homes and in your hearts, and for the studying of the song of Moses and the Lamb, that's Revelation 14 and 15. That's the same thing as the book of the law of Yahweh that Nehemiah was admonished to put in the side pockets of the ark, that Ezra read to the people when they came out of the Judean captivity from Babylon. When they came out, Ezra the scribe, he stood up for about 6 hours in the pavement reading to the people, rededicating the law of Moses, reconsecrating themselves. And Paul says, as Paul says in the New Testament, I die daily. I reconsecrate myself on a daily basis. What does he mean by that? It means that when I do the daily at 9 o'clock and at 3 o'clock, he says, I rededicate my life anew. I die to the old man of sin, Romans chapter 6, and I wake with a new, as a new man in the spirit on a day-by-day basis. And no doubt, Paul, being a Jew, he definitely recognized and performed his vows at the daily, just like Peter and all the disciples did. This brings us to the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
I am thine, O Yahweh. I am thine, O Yahweh. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer unto thee. Draw me near the blessed young to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, blessed young, to the precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, young, for the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Precious, sweet inside.